And this morning I want to continue a series that we're doing on the Sermon on the Mount. And the series is called, What Are You Building On? So let's say that together. What are you building on? How many know how important that question is? It's a great question. Everybody needs to be able to answer it. What are you building on? And then we're going to be looking at the first sermon given by Jesus Christ. And how many know it's not only the first, but it's the what? It's the longest sermon Jesus ever gave. Chapters, Matthew, what, 5, 6, 7. 3 chapters of one sermon. It's called Sermon on the Mount. I want to begin with a story. In 1976, I ran away. When I ran away, though, I didn't just go down the street. I actually didn't go across town. I actually didn't go to another state. But did I run? And I did not run. Some of you might think to Ireland. I didn't go there. Actually, I didn't even go to Europe. Actually, I ran to Asia. Asia was a country that was closed to foreigners, closed to Americans. Americans couldn't even get in. And if you were a Christian, you definitely could not get in. That is where I ran. I ran to Saudi Arabia. Some of you might ask, what drove you to Saudi Arabia? What compelled you to run that far so you couldn't be reached? And the answer is, it was, for me, it was a fresh start, but not really. The reason it wasn't a fresh start was when I left, I had to bring myself. It's never good when you bring yourself, amen? So even though I ran from a house that collapsed due to my sandy foundation, ironically, I ran away to a country that was filled with sand. Is that not ironic? In 1973, I had entered a bad marriage, and I definitely was very immature. I had no understanding of marriage, and really, I probably would tell you today, no God in my life. So it started poorly and it ended poorly, and as a result of that, put me in a lot of turmoil. I remember calling my parents and talking to them about it, but they really didn't have much to say to me. Most of my friends were non-believers, so they weren't very helpful. So at the age of 25, I found myself alone. I had not one helpful insight. Have you ever been there? You don't even know what went wrong or why it went wrong. You have no idea, and I didn't have any idea either. All I knew was everything around me had collapsed. I did know that. I had no idea why, though. So I did what I should have never done, and that is what? Run. I ran. And I thought, as some of you might think, you just need some time. Well, I found that never works. I thought I just needed a change of scenery. How many of you know that never works? So I just kept running. I just figured I needed a new start. But I also figured out pretty fast that, what? There was no solution for me running. And the reason is what? When I went to Saudi Arabia, what? I had to bring myself. Never a good idea, because that person was broken, and I remained broken. Time really didn't help me. And the reason is, and I want to talk with you about it today, is, see, I had never learned what I'm talking to you today about. I never knew about the storms, and I definitely never knew about two builders building two houses and having two different foundations. I never, ever got that. Boy, would it have been helpful. I want to ask you, too. How about you? Have you ever been in a trial? You're in a very painful place, trying to run? Anybody here running? Anyone hiding? Anyone thinking, gee, maybe God doesn't see any of this. Oh, a lot of people live that way.
Well, this morning I want to look at the storm. What is the storm in your life? And I believe that if you look at this today, the storm will reveal your real condition of your life. And so I want to review last week, because I think last week was really helpful, and we talked about Matthew 24. Remember that verse, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, but how many know hearing's not going to get you to heaven? Hearing will get nobody to heaven. But what? But puts them in the practice. He is like a wise man who builds his house. And I want to emphasize his house, and I want to emphasize your house. Because in this story, the house represents what? Your life, my life. We're all building a house, right? Everyone in this church is building. You're building a life. And I really want to say, whether you believe this or not, you are building your life before the Lord. It's easy to talk about life. I say, you're building a life. Yeah, I get that. Yeah, but you're building a life before God. Include that in this. So we're all putting this building together, and we're doing it all before God. And as I said last week, every person has all their building materials, and they're putting it all together, and they're trying to build a life to one degree or another, right? Everybody's doing that. And so last week we looked at what were the similarities in the two builders. And I said that in the parable, they both built in the same place, okay? They built their house, what? Side by side. And actually, what was similar, the houses looked pretty much the same. But I want to say to you today, you know, your life might look like somebody else's life, but how many of you know it's not? And that is what Jesus is getting at. On the outside, they look the same, but on the inside, what? They are not the same at all. It's kind of a wake-up call. And so last week, I only talked about the similarities of the parable. I also talked with you about the differences. And I want to go over that again today so that you know there are differences here. And we know that if you're going to look at the difference in how people build, eventually you have to look at the foundation. And that's what Jesus was getting at. And last week I gave you 9 characteristics of people who are building on sand. And I want to go over those again with you, because you might be actually building your life on sand. And let's go over the 9 characteristics I gave you last week. There's the house, right? It's falling down. Looks good. But the house there is built on sand. Number 1 is what? Superficial treatment of the gospel. That's how you know you're on sand. There's very little word in you. You don't really know much about your Bible. Number 2, you're looking for some kind of instant upper. Just an instant upper. Number 3, and I think this is really a big one, if you're on sand, there's really very little time for any soul conviction in your life. You just don't have time for it. You are on sand. Number 4, there's little brokenness in your life. If we were to talk with you, you would tell us all the good things about your life. You are on sand, and your house is coming down. Number 5, little hard work. Spiritually, you don't really do much spiritual hard work. Number 5, you may like to hear, but what? You do not want to do. You are on sand. Number 6, you like quick fixes.
If it gets hard, you want out. You are on sand. Number seven, usually people who are on sand know more about philosophy than they do about the Word of God. They can tell you more about the world and its condition than they can about the things of God. They are on sand. And number eight, this is how you'll know it. They really will not go to the Word very often. Their house could be falling down. They still won't go to their Bibles. They don't want to grapple. They don't want to grapple with the Word of God and look at, this is my life, this is the Word, look at them. They do not want to do any of that, correct? That house is on, and that house is going to fall in a big, big way. Then we looked at the characteristics of how do you know you're on the rock? Let's go over these. Number one, if you're on the rock, you're not in a hurry. If you're on the rock, you know how to wait on God. If you're on the rock, you know it's going to take some time for you to discern the will of God, and you are willing to wait. You are a person who wants to hear the voice of God. If that's you, you are on the number two. You let God search your hearts. When you're going through life and you get afraid, you get worried, you get jealous, you get angry, you go like this. Lord, search my heart. You are on the rock. Number three, people who are on the rock labor in their souls. They know it's not easy to labor in their souls, but they want to do what's right before God. They are on the rock. Number four, people who are on the rock, how many know they know they're sinful? They know they're sinful. And actually, at times, they will get overwhelmed by their own sinfulness. They will look at their life and say, I am wicked. They are on the rock. Wow. Number five, people on the rock study the Word of God. Amen? They don't just read it. Reading will never get you there. Amen? They're not satisfied by reading. See? They want to what? Study. They are on the rock. Number six, and I love this. They actually know the importance of being convicted by God. And when God convicts them, you know what they do? Thank God, you are convicting me of my sinfulness. People on sand don't want any of that. People on the rock want the conviction of God. That's how you know you're on the rock. And number seven, they know living out the Christian life is not easy, and they are willing to do the hard thing. They're not like people on the sand who read their Bibles, and then when it gets to do a hard thing, they go, I don't think I can do that. People on the rock, what? Do the hard thing when they don't want to do it. And all God's people said.
Amen.
I went over that with you last week. And this morning, I want to move from all of that that I told you last week. And I want to deal with one thing today. Today, I want to deal with the storm. We dealt with the similarities and the differences. Today, I want to deal with the what? The storm. Because what we're going to read is both people are building a house, right? What makes the difference is what? The storm. And one man builds on sand. And that man who built on sand, when the storm comes, what happens? The whole thing is falling down. But the man who builds his life on the, when that storm comes, guess what? He's fine. The building stays. I want to talk about the storm. But let's read the parable. And it's interesting that in this Sermon on the Mount, I guess Jesus was
smart in that he waited for these last verses to the end of the sermon. He didn't tell him in the beginning. He only tells the parable when? It must have been a dramatic ending. He tells it when? At the end of the sermon. He's already told them what to do. But now, at the very end of the sermon, I think this must have hit them really, really hard. And my hope for you is this hits you really, really hard. So at the end of this sermon, after telling them how to live and what to do, he says, verse 24, let's read this together. What? Therefore, everyone who what? Hears what? These words of mine, the words of Jesus Christ. And what? Puts them into practice. He is like a wise man, and he's going to build his house on the... But here it comes. The rains come, yes. Streams come, winds blow, and they beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine, but you don't practice them, you are not a wise man, you are a foolish person, and you are building your house on sand. And then the rains are going to come. Streams are going to rise. The wind is going to beat against that house. And your house is going to fall with a great crash. It is coming down. Wow. And when Jesus had finished saying this, this is his last words of the sermon, the crowd were amazed because he taught as one who had authority and he was not as a teacher of the law. This is the word of the Lord. Amen? So let's talk about the storm today. And I want to look at this. And I'm going to give you 3 points today. And the first one is I want to define the storm. Then I'm going to talk to you second about what are the effects of the storm. And third, I want to talk to you about the question I never asked, which was, what did the storm in your life reveal about you? Have to look at that one. Amen? And we're basically today going to answer the question, how can the storm in your life make all the difference in the world? Are you ready? The question is what? How can the storm in your life, my life, make all the difference in the whole wide world? We're going to answer that question this morning. So let's look at the storm. Now, the people, probably unlike us, in Palestine who actually heard this parable, how many of you know they got it? If they were living in that country, when Jesus told this, they got this. You see, because in Palestine, there was a lot of deserts, and they were used to the rain, and they knew that that rain could create a river. And they knew when the winds blew at the river, it could cause a flood. And they knew that if their house was near that flood, their house would what? It would go down. They got this very, very clearly. I don't think I realized until I got to Saudi Arabia either. Like I said, in my testimony, my world was what? Filled with sand. And so I got amazed too. Even though I couldn't see it spiritually, today I can. I got it that as I was in Saudi Arabia and I looked around and everything was sand, but there were times when I was there where rain started coming down. And that rain caused rivers. And the wind came. And I one day would look and see a desert and there were houses there. And the very next day I'd go and what? They're all gone. I was totally like, I cannot believe this. They have totally lost their house in one day. It blew me away. I had never seen anything like that. But these people got it. They knew it. And so, this morning, I want to say to you something that
I never really understood, and that is that Jesus' words in this parable has only one meaning. One. Only one. And it is this. The storm is God's judgment. I don't know if you've ever heard this before. You might not have. I never heard it. But the storm in the parable is what? It is God's judgment on the people. Now, the storm, the judgment of God, will manifest itself in one of two ways. Okay, I really want you to get this, because this is what's happening today. It's going to, the judgment of God on your life is going to show itself in two ways. One, it's going to show itself an earthly judgment. It's going to be an earthly judgment. And the second part of the judgment is going to be the judgment day. Whether it's at the day of your death or the day you stand before God, there's a judgment coming. Amen? So let's break it down. Let's begin with the judgment on earth. Storm one. Trials of life. Divorce. Tragedies. Sickness. You've been betrayed in relationships. You have addictions. Maybe you've lost somebody in your life you really love. Doesn't matter. Put your name in. Amen? Name the storm. If it's not one of them, put it in. We all have them. Amen? But storm number two is God's ultimate judgment of every person. And how many know the second judgment will be a lot more expensive than the one you have on this earth? It will cost you far greater than the difficulty you're going through. Do you understand? Wow. You see, we have to ask the question on that second judgment, when will God judge you? And Jesus gave the answer. Jesus said in that parable, just go back to the preceding verse. He gives the parable of the two builders. But notice in verse 21 of the following verses, Jesus says what? Let's go to verse 21. Not everyone who says to me what? Jesus, Jesus, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. But only the one who does the will. Underline it. This is God's requirement. Many will say to me, one, on that day, Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not drive out demons? Did I not do miracles? Didn't I serve you? Didn't I do all the great things? And Jesus is going to look at you and says what? I never knew you. Perish into the everlasting fires of hell. Yeah. That second judgment, it will occur. And he says it will occur when? On that day. And I really want to say to you, that day is the day of judgment, the final judgment, where the Lord will determine whether you're going to heaven or whether you're going to hell. And that judgment is going to be far greater than the earthly one we have. And all God's people said.
Amen.
Wow. You ever look at the parable this way? Boy, will it open up your eyes. I want to show you a picture. When I saw this picture, I was like, I get this picture. You see, in this is a very powerful picture. It's a picture of two people, and they're in a what? They're in a storm. Can you identify? Can you see yourself grabbing onto something in that storm? Maybe some of you are in a storm today, and you're trying to grab onto something, right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? You're grabbing onto something. And you grab, but it doesn't hold. Oh, you're grabbing, but what? Oh, it's not holding you. I mean, no, that vehicle right there is not holding them. That vehicle is going to turn over again, and they are going down. See, it's shocking. When I saw that picture, I was like, man, that's shocking. Because I would think that what I built my life on would actually hold me. They thought if they built their life on all material things and success and getting ahead, that actually if their life were to explode, they'd be fine. And so they grabbed on to what they built. But guess what? Have you ever been through this? It does not hold you. That is the good news. It does not hold you. I think about going through a divorce, losing a job. You know, it's a storm. So where do you go? You go to, well, I'm successful. I've got a nice house. I've got a nice car. I have my kids. You built your life on that. But when you're in the storm, guess what? It won't even hold you. And will that not shock you? Like you get shocked. I thought this was going to hold. It does not hold. I never knew this. I wish someone had preached this to me. You see, at the end, it's not the only thing that's going to be able to hold you is the Lord. Amen? Listen to this. Go to Matthew 25, 23. I was thinking about this week. Jesus says at that judgment, when you're being judged by him, whether you're going to heaven or hell, Jesus said, for some of us, the Lord God himself will say to you, read the words, well done. This is verse 23. Well done, good and faithful servant. For you have been faithful. So, what's this all based on? If you think you're going to hear those words, it's based on what? You or I are going to be faithful to what God told you to do. God is not going to say to you, well done, good and successful. Some of you think he is. Oh, I'm successful. God is not going to say to you, well done, good and successful. You've been a success in this life. God is, wake up. God is not going to say that to you. He only says it to who? To faithful people who are what? Faithful to what God told you to do. Will that not wake us all up? Oh, we've heard it's by success, but let me be clear with you. You can be successful in this world as much as you want, and the Lord can say to you, what? I, Jesus Christ, never knew you. Go into the pit of hell. I never knew you. You thought I did, but you were not faithful to what I told you to do, and all God's people said.
Amen.
You see, go to the next slide. The storm, and this is good news, guys. I know some of you are saying, wow, this isn't good news, but it is. You see, the storm is God's judgment on you, because the storm in your life or mine, what's it going to do? It's going to test, and it's going to reveal. What's the storm going to test? Your faith or your lack of. Praise God. How many know that's a good thing that shows up? Whether you say you're in a storm now and you say, no, I'm hanging on to Jesus. But I'll tell you what, some of you aren't. And guess what? It's revealing it to you. And how many know that's good news that you know that you're not living the way God wants you to? You didn't get to the second judgment yet. You should be thanking God. Wow. Oh, can we say this together? The storm, what? Test the storm in your life. And it's going to reveal what? Your profession or lack of faith. You see, in the storms of the earthly trial, I got good news for you. There's a chance. You might actually see
the condition of your profession of faith. You might. You might. Some of you might. I pray that some of you would. You might. Now, I do want to say there are some who won't. Is that not true? Some of you could be going through a storm, and the Lord's trying to do something, and guess what? Like me, what? I have no idea. I would be the guy saying, what's God doing? I would have no idea what God was doing. Wow. How many knows a lot of people like that? It's hard, for sure. You could go through storms. You could be devastated. You could be losing everything. And you're on a house of sand and you don't even know it. Correct? Here's how you know it. You know how you'll know it? Your whole life is devastated. Think about it. Your whole life is devastated. You got your whole life blown up. And after you went through it, what did you do? How many of you know some people go back and build on sand again? Oh, listen, guys. How many of you already know what I'm talking about? You've already done. Because I did it. And I know some of you in this place are doing it too. You're saying my whole life got blown up. Yeah, it got blown up. The Lord was trying to reveal something. You didn't see it. So what do you do now? Oh, you don't turn towards God. You go building back on sand again. And what will happen to you? You're getting ready for another fall. And you ought to be thankful to God, ultimately, because he's trying to wake you up. Amen?
Amen.
And all God's people said. Would you agree that the storm in your life, the difficulty you're going through, all it's really doing is what? Testing the profession or lack of your faith. Would you? I pray that you would. I pray that as you're going through it, whatever trial you're in, whatever mess up you're in, you go, am I responding by faith? Or, and I love this, am I still self-dependent? I'm going to pull myself up. Oh, boy, the sand is getting deep. You are going down. I'll take care of this myself. You are on sand, and your whole house is coming down. And all God's people said.
Amen.
What do you think? You think Jesus should have preached this first, or you think it was good to wait to the end? I'll go with Jesus. He waited. Probably a good idea. You see, I want to say to you, if you're in a storm, and some of you may not even be aware of this, you actually have a choice. Some of you think you don't have a choice. Some of you aren't even aware that you do have a choice. But I want to say it clearly to you. You're in a storm, you have a choice. And we're blessed to have that choice. You see, Galatians 2:20, open up your Bibles. I want you to read this. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It's a great scripture. Galatians 2:20. Think about this. Paul says this. Y'all have it? Let's read this together. Paul says what? I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer, Christ lives in the life I now live in the body. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me.
Amen.
So I have an interesting concept for you to look at. You know what the word I actually means? It actually means ego. It means your ego. Your self-dependency, your willingness to pull yourself up by your own boots to do it your own way. That is called your ego. So let's read it again. But instead of saying I this time, you say your ego. Can we do this? Don't say I, say what? Ego, my ego. So let's read it again. The life ego lives in the body. Come on, ego will live by. No, no, let's, where am I? Let's go, I'm in 20. Ego, verse 20. Ego has been crucified with Christ, and ego no longer lives. Really? Yeah. If your ego doesn't live, then what? Christ lives in me. The life ego now lives in the body. Ego is going to live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself up for me. You see, you do have a choice. Oh, you can live by your ego. You can live by your self-dependency. You could live by, I'm going to pull myself up by my own boots. But just be clear, you are on sinking sand. Or you could choose, you know what? I choose Christ. I choose to live by him. I choose to turn towards him. He's my rock, not my ego. Jesus Christ is my rock. His word is my rock. I choose that. Some of you think you don't have a choice. I really want to say to you, in all kindness, wake up and choose what is right for your life. And all God's people said.
Amen.
You see, I want to say this. Let's go to the next slide. A false profession will last, but it will not get you through the judgment seat of Christ. It won't. Do you understand that? You're not making it. You could be here on earth, and you could say to me, I'm pulling myself up by my own boots. I'm going to live for myself. I'm going to make it on my own. I live for myself. Some of you might be able to live that way your whole life, correct? Could you, some people do it? Yeah, some could. But I want to tell you something. When you get to the second judgment, you're not making it. Because, see, that judgment will not be done by you. Some of you actually might think you're going to heaven, but you're not. Correct? You might say, oh, I believe or I think, but you're not a Christian. But in your mind, you're deceived. You're not going. So you got through your whole life convincing yourself and convincing others you were. But guess what? When you face Christ, he knows what? He knows the truth. So you might get by this first one, but how many know the second one? Whether you fooled yourself and everybody else, you are not going to heaven. You can't fool Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You cannot. Wow. You see, I think in some cases, the false profession will truly only last until storm number two. Correct? Some may never surrender to faith even while they're on earth, and they're having storms taking place everywhere. They still may say, no, I will not submit. I continue, I want to trust myself. And some of them actually may think they're going to heaven, but they are not. Correct? Could we just take a minute and pray for any person who actually thinks they're going to heaven, but they're really not? I really pray that they would come to the realization they're not really followers of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just thank you for the powerful sermon, Lord, you gave. But Lord, here today, if there's anybody who has a false sense of security, thinks they're going, but they're not, Lord, I pray that by your love and your grace and your mercy, you would reveal it to that person, even now, today, here in this place, that they're on false ground. They have a false security. And Lord, just draw them to yourself, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said.
Amen.
Amen. So, number three, two houses. Which one are you? Just look up there. Which one are you? Answer the question. You're the one up there. You're on the rock. You're good. You're confident. You know what you believe, and you're practicing it. Or you're this one. your house is being destroyed. You're either one of them. You're one or the other. Amen? There's no middle ground here. Pastor, I'm in the middle. To you, you're deceived. There is no middle. You're sinking, you're rising. There is no middle. But go to the next slide. Here's what I want to say. A sandy profession of faith may make it through God's judgment as it's manifested on the what? On the earth, yes. Some of you may get through this earth. But you make it through those trials by virtue of your what? Your self-will, your wisdom, your self-dependency. But I want to look at Matthew 7:21, where Jesus says what? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, not everyone will say what? He will enter the kingdom of heaven. You're not going in. You think you are, you want to, you are not. You're not going in. But only, this is Jesus' conviction, who's going in? But only the one who does the will of my Father who in heaven. Many people will say to me on that day, they're being judged for the second judgment, heaven or hell, Lord, Lord, didn't I do all this stuff? But Jesus says what? I never knew you. Wow. You're not going to make it through the second. You can deceive yourself. You can deceive other people. You can talk like you're a Christian. But it's clear. Jesus sets up the standard for who gets in. And not me and not you. Amen. Understand the standard that Jesus Christ sets. Wow. You see, I would think, let's go back to Matthew 7:28. At the end of the sermon, listen to what the people say. When Jesus had finished saying this to them, oh, they got it. Now, whether they heard it, right? I'm not sure they believed it or did it, but they heard it. When that crowd, when Jesus finished saying these things, the crowd, they were what? How many, just because you're amazed, that doesn't even mean you're getting to heaven either. Amazement doesn't get you into heaven. They were amazed because what? He taught as one having, they're like, hey, he's talking like he has authority that when I die, I'm going to face him and he'll determine whether I go to heaven or hell. Why would I believe such a man who tells me these things? Even if he has authority and power, I'm not sure. That's right. You're not going to heaven either. You can be amazed. You can be in shock. You can be blown away. You can be confronted. But if you and I don't respond the way God wants us to respond to what he's told us, we're not going either. Amen? Wow. I think they would not believe that a man would claim to be able to judge them and send them to heaven or hell. Would you not agree? If you were in the crowd, some of you might be saying, who is this man? Who says he has the power to send me to heaven or hell? I'm not sure I like him or believe him. You have that choice. That's fine. Wow. You know, I was thinking of this. They probably never heard such a warning. Would you agree? I don't think they ever heard of a man like Jesus Christ coming and warning them that you might not be going to heaven. Because he was saying, you have to build your house on the rock and not on the sand. Or, what are the consequences would be for not doing the things Jesus' word told them to do? I'm not even sure they looked down that far. I say to you, look down that far. You know, after you heard this sermon, let's put it to you. What would you do? What would you do? You're hearing the same words, right? What would you do? Would you say, well, I'm merely amazed? isn't this unbelievable that this guy's talking like this? Holy cow. Or would you say, hey, you know this religious stuff is hokey pokey. This God thing, I'm not so sure of. This Jesus thing everyone's going with. I mean, come on, you got to be kidding me. Maybe some of you would talk like that, right? Everybody has a different response. But the truth is, what Jesus is telling you is the truth. And guess what? Whether you believe it or not, your eternal destiny will rest on what Jesus Christ said. You might even be, I don't like Pastor Dan. It's fine. I'm just telling you what God's word says. I'm telling you what Jesus Christ himself said. You can be mad at me. I'd rather have you mad at God. Because I can't do anything about your anger anyways. But if you're angry with God, go to him and tell him you're angry with him then. Tell him. It's okay. Because he can handle it. Amen? But, I don't know. Let's close this morning. And I want you...